And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Now, I've really got to ask you how you're feeling this morning, because obviously there's a lot up in the air this morning, and I think there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of consternation, a lot of suspicion about exactly what is going on in our country right now. And I think rightly so. I think we've got a right to question and analyze exactly what we're looking at here, because it did appear last night that President Trump had won the election. And now as we get into collecting and counting these absentee or mail-in ballots or whatever they are, suddenly things are flipping. Philadelphia has suspended counting until Friday. We don't know what that means exactly. Another state, I think it was Nevada, that suspended counting today. They're going to resume tomorrow. I don't know what that means. Why in the world, in a presidential election, would you be postponing counting? Surely they anticipated this. Why in the world would you say, we're going to stop counting for now? It just strikes me as questionable. And I'm probably being somewhat kind and euphemistic. It could strike you as somewhat as downright evil, downright conspiratorial, because there's no reason in the world other than let's see how many votes we need and then find what we need to win. You know, that's the way Mayor Daley always did it in Chicago. And he is an icon of the Democrat Party. That's the way they roll. So this is going to be very interesting to watch unfold. And we just have to keep praying and believing God that truth and justice and decency will win out. I cannot believe, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today before starting the program. I don't ever hear anybody on the left say, you know, but I do admire President Trump's patriotism. I do admire his love for the country. I think his policies are wrong, but I do admire the fact that he really does inspire a love of country and a desire to see America do its best. You never hear an acknowledgement that. In fact, they don't acknowledge patriotism themselves. They hate him in part because he loves the country. They've been indoctrinated into believing that love of country is somehow racist and xenophobic. So those of us who love this country, those of us who respect our flag, there's something wrong with us. Because if we were really smart people, we would know better than that. We would know we would know what a terrible place America is, and we would not spend all of our time expressing any affection or love or commitment or loyalty to our nation. For them, that's the equivalent of fascism. You know, I said, God doesn't, you know, these people don't have the common sense God gave a gnat, because they can't distinguish between hyper-nationalism that is interested in subjugating other peoples like Hitler and Mussolini were, and a healthy love of one's own country and a desire to see one's own country do well. We're not against others doing well. We just want to do well, and we don't want anybody getting in the way of our trying to do well for ourselves, our families, our nation. But they've turned that into something ugly, something evil. And so as a result, they have an absolutely unreal hatred for this president. And I've said before, enough of a hatred that I think they'd do anything in their power to get him out of office. And let me underscore that. Anything. I do mean anything. That certainly includes cheating. That certainly includes manufacturing ballots. That certainly includes fraudulent reporting of the number of votes. Because after all, the end justifies the means, right? So we're watching the situation very, very, very closely. Now, there are two, and I want to take plenty of calls today. The number here, of course, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'm getting it out there early. I'll try to get to you early. There are a couple of takeaways based on where we are right now. And by the way, let me just say for the record, I do believe, in spite of what is happening right now, I do believe that President Trump is going to win this election. I do believe that. I believe when all is sorted out, when the valid ballots are sorted from the false ballots, and when every effort is uncovered to try to cheat their way to success, the president will emerge victorious. That's my prediction. I'm sticking with it. It's going to probably take until late Friday, maybe into next week, because even if they call it for Joe Biden, I think the president is going to start litigating. So it may take us longer than that. I don't know how long it will take. But there are two takeaways that I think are very, very powerful. And by the way, powerful no matter which way this goes. One is conservatives have got to get a hold of voting reform in a way I think that the American people understand, which is one, simplicity, two, safety and security of the ballot. One, simplicity, two, safety and security of the ballot. Now, mail-in ballots may meet the simplicity standard, but they don't meet the safety and security of the ballot standard. Because I told you all, when I got mailed an application for a mail-in ballot, it said to me, what address would you like the ballot sent to? And I'm thinking to myself, what address would I like the ballot sent to? You're going to send me a ballot. You haven't seen me or know who I am, who's getting this thing, and I'm going to send something back to you signed and tell you to send me a ballot who knows where, and you're just going to send it, and then when I send it back, it's going to count, even though you can't verify by that means who I am. What kind of system is that? I think we've got to take the leadership in saying, look, we do want every American to vote. We want every American to have that opportunity, but what we don't want is to increase the likelihood of cheating and overturning elections. Always remember this. There's a Black Lives Matter activist who won in Missouri. I'll get to her in a second. She won with 82% of the vote. 82% of the vote. And you know what I thought? Now there's a communist election. You know, communists have elections. It's just that they always win with an overwhelming number of voters because you better vote for them. They figure out a way to rig the situation so that the outcome they want is what they get. They don't have a problem with elections. They just want to make sure that the outcome is already predetermined. Perfect example of a communist election. So we've got to get a handle on that, because right now I think the greatest danger we're facing is that this election could be stolen from President Trump by a bunch of ballots that nobody can really verify. Whether you all heard that they found 300,000 ballots somewhere in a post office, 300,000 ballots in a post office. And there have been a couple of other sort of scenarios of ballots that weren't properly sent or weren't. This stuff, we shouldn't. And people say, yeah, but you know, in the end, it's going to all work out. But we shouldn't have to have agita wondering whether this is all going to work out. It should be nice and smooth and easy. And the simplicity and security are to be marks of our elections. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The authors of a new book remind us that for the first time in history, the world shut itself down by choice because of a virus that was spreading. We did not understand the nature and danger of the coronavirus, but we understand much more now. I had Dr. Jay Richards on my radio program to talk about the book, The Price of Panic, written by him and two other authors. The subtitle of the book expresses some of their concerns, how the tyranny of experts turned a pandemic into a catastrophe. They illustrate with lots of facts, figures, and graphs the reality that the human cost of the emergency response to the pandemic far outweighs the benefits. They recognize that other books will be written in the future about the response to the virus, but they wanted to publish these results now because there's another push to close down the economy. In previous commentaries, I've documented some of the economic, educational, emotional, and medical cost of the lockdowns that took place. The book even goes into more detail to talk about the total cost in dollars, lives, and livelihoods, as well as the ongoing problems with emotional and medical issues. One of the biggest surprises for the authors was how ineffective the lockdowns actually were. They assumed that the lockdowns would do what they were predicted to do, but would still have to count the other negative costs. But if you look at the charts in the book, you will discover the lockdowns weren't very effective. In Chapter 9, with the title, Did the Lockdowns Work?, are a number of graphs for a dozen states showing when the lockdown was implemented and what happened more than a week later to the number of reported cases. The impact was much less than we were led to believe. Our elected leaders and our newly elected leaders need to read this book before they make any decisions about another lockdown. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of the booklet, A Biblical View on Pornography, go to viewpoints.info/pornography. That's viewpoints.info/pornography.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Who's going to win the presidential election? We'll have to wait for unelected judges to pick our president. A bad, wrong way to do things. Is President Trump being cheated out of a rightful victory? I'll give you my prescription for how to fix our system. It's not complicated. And we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly from the election. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The United States Postal Service was ordered by District Judge, Federal Judge Emmett G. Sullivan, to sweep its mail processing facilities and send ballots that they might find to the balloting officials on time. The deadline, I think, was 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday. I'm not sure how they were supposed to get it there, but I'm not sure how that time frame worked. They missed it. They missed the timeline, by the way. They missed it anyway. But in the sweep, the post office revealed more than 300,000 mail-in ballots across the country were in processing plants, but it failed to receive exit scans, indicating that they may have been misplaced within the postal system. And this is what the left is telling us we can rely on. Oh, this is easy. Oh, of course, no problem. It's not going to work. It's not working. And frankly, from my perspective, things like mail-in ballots should be reserved for people who are infirm and can't get out. That have some appropriate reason why they cannot do it that way, that limits the numbers rather than these mass mailings of ballots all over the country. And then, as we see now, particularly in Pennsylvania, You've got people stuck trying to count all these ballots. And I heard one of the women say, we've never dealt with this before. We've never dealt with this before. Well, you would think they would have anticipated, but they didn't. So that's one thing. Here's the other takeaway. This president has done better among women, women of America, of American women of African descent, American men of African descent, American males and females of Hispanic descent. His support among those groups is increasing. And that is scaring the daylights out of liberals. It's scaring the daylights out of them. And, you know, I'll just say this, and I'm going to come to your calls. I read a book not too long ago by Stephen Phillips called Brown is the New White. And his thesis in that book is, forget about all these independents, all these middle of the roaders, and all these people, you know, he said, no, forget about that. Radicalize the Black and Hispanic population, radicalize them, make them leftists. That's how you win. Because his theory is that the demographics of the country are changing, and sooner or later, if you radicalize those populations, they will give you the progressive governance that you are looking for, but you've got to get to them. Now, you know what that means to me? That means conservatives better get to these people and offer them an alternative vision, or we will look up one day and they will be lost forever. And I'll tell you something, I am dedicated to trying to do that. I really am, because they're deceived. It's like a cult that convinces them that the very things that will hurt them, hurt their children, hurt their ability to earn a living, hurt their ability to rise to the highest place their God-given gifts and talents will allow them to, the very things that will do that are the things that they're going to knock out. So you, in effect, become dependent upon the subsistence of the state. And as long as you do their bidding, you will be fine. In other words, you will become nothing more than a glorified slave. That's what socialism ultimately does. Okay, 888-589-8840. Let's get to the lines. Let's go to William in Texas. William, welcome.
Yes, sir, Bishop. How are you today, sir?
Doing great, William. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm very discouraged after, you know, waking up this morning and hearing what's taking place. I just basically, I have two young adult children that I sat down a couple of weeks ago, and we had a discussion on the importance of voting and how it's a privilege and it's an honor, and it's your duty as a patriot to step up and take care of. And they both went and voted yesterday. One of my children was kind of reluctant to do so. He doesn't really have a whole lot of faith in the system. But anyway, having woken up this morning, I was asked the question, well, who won the election? And I had to explain basically what was going on. And I could just see the disappointment in their faces. And you know, and basically they're old enough and they're very intelligent. They understand that there's some fraudulent activity afoot and that there's obviously cheating that's going on. But it's difficult for me to look at my children. And after having given them the big patriot speech about voting, how important it is and how your vote counts, just to find out that you've had the rug yanked out from underneath you. And I'll tell you, I think it's going to impact future elections, because I think a lot of people, including myself, if this election if the results of this go is we think they might after it's all said and done and it doesn't turn out the way we had hoped and prayed, I think it's going to be the end of their days as far as going to vote. They're not going to have any faith in the system at all.
All right, William. William, thank you so much for the call. Let me say two things really quickly. First of all, God bless your children who went. Yeah, I think you said two sons who went out and voted. God bless them for it. remember this, and this is what came to mind as you were speaking. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. We do not pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and protected and passed on to them to do the same, or we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children about the United States of America, where we were once free. The other thing you got to tell your kids is this stuff's got to be fought for. This is no namby-pamby stuff we're in. We're seeing a situation in which people are trying to destroy the greatest nation in the history of mankind and trying to convince everybody they can that it's a horrible place that needs to be torn down and rebuilt into some Marxist image, and we're simply not going to let them do it. Win this election or lose this election, we don't quit. We don't stop, because that's the price of freedom. Who was it who said, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance? The price of liberty, I guess it was, is eternal vigilance. So just be encouraged, William. Be encouraged and encourage your sons. They did the right thing, and let them know no matter what the outcome is, we fight on. So God bless you for calling, though, and God bless you for trying to instill the right values in your kids. Let's go to Scott in Texas. Scott, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So my question is, if Joe Biden ends up winning initially, what's the likelihood that Trump would be able to get this overturned? And furthermore, what is all this going to do to the trust in voting? If Joe Biden wins, the right is not going to trust voting. If Trump gets it overturned, then the left is not going to trust voting. So what's the future of the voting process?
Well, I think you're raising the same kind of question that William raised. Look, I think if you heard me in the opening monologue of the program, I said we've got to do some reforming of our voting system with two key principles in mind, simplicity and security. The left is trying to make it very, very simple to vote, but they don't care about security. They don't care about integrity. They don't care about accuracy at all. All they care about is the outcome. They care about winning. So I think part of our quest over the next 4 years, no matter which way this goes, by the way, part of our quest is to come up with a voting system in which it is very, 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 very difficult to cheat, but relatively easy for anybody who wants to vote to vote. But what we can't do, we can't quit. We can't give up. That's the thing we cannot do. But Scott, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to, do I have time? Let's go to Albert in Alabama. Albert got a victory down there in Alabama. Albert, are you there? Albert, I said you have a victory down there in Alabama.
Yes, sir, we do. I was born in Fort Hood, Texas, too, so I'm grateful for them. I was trying to get someone with access to the internet to try to pull up right when the virus started, when the China set the virus over. They had a clip on the Chinese Communist Party thing that just added for a second, and it said, "Can the coronavirus defeat President Trump?" Because they couldn't defeat him on the economy. This was done intentionally.
I agree with you, Albert. I have no question. You know, I don't know whether the thing was created intentionally or created accidentally or what, but I do believe it was unleashed on the world intentionally. I believe that communist China is just that wicked, just that evil. These leaders are these godless, wicked, twisted leaders that as long as it hurts the world and they think in the long run benefits China, they don't care how many people die. I mean, I think it was Mao Zedong who said, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. And by breaking a few eggs, he meant you got to let some people die. Starve them, kill them, whatever. I mean, that's the way it goes. So, yeah, and here again, if Biden wins, then we've got somebody in the White House who is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Communist Chinese Party. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Once upon a time in the long, long ago, the eagle and the chicken were very good friends. Everywhere they went, these friends went together. It was not uncommon for people to look up and see the eagle and the chicken flying side by side through the air. One day, while flying, the chicken said to the eagle, "Let's drop down and get a bite to eat. My stomach is growling." "Sounds like a good idea to me," replied the eagle. So the two birds glided down to earth, saw several animals eating, and decided to join them. They landed next to the cow. The cow was busy eating corn, but noticed that the eagle and the chicken were soon sitting on the ground next to her. "Welcome," said the cow. "Help yourself to this corn." Now this took the two birds by surprise. They were not accustomed to having other animals share their food quite so readily. "Why are you willing to share your corn with us?" asked the eagle. "Oh, we have plenty to eat here. Mr. Farmer gives us all we want," replied the cow. Well, the eagle and the chicken jumped right in and ate their fill. When they finished, the chicken asked more about the farmer. "Well," said the cow, "he grows all our food. We don't have to work for the food at all." "You mean," said the chicken, "that the farmer simply gives you all you want to eat and you don't have to work for it?" "That's right," said the cow. "Not only that, but he gives us shelter over our heads." Now the chicken and the eagle were shocked. They'd never heard such a thing. They had always had to search for food and work for shelter. When it came time to leave, the chicken and the eagle began to discuss the situation. "Maybe we should just stay here," said the chicken. "We can have all the food we want without working for it. And that barn over there sure beats those nests we have to continually be building. Besides," he said, "I'm getting tired of always having to work for a living." Now the eagle replied, "I don't know about all of this. It sounds too good to be true. I find it hard to believe that one can get something for nothing. Besides, I kind of like flying high and free through the air. And providing for food and shelter isn't so bad. In fact, I find it quite challenging." Well, the chicken thought it over and decided to stay where there was free food and shelter. But the eagle decided that he loved his freedom too much to give it up, and enjoyed the consistent challenge of making his own living. So, after saying goodbye to his friend the chicken, the eagle set sail for the wild blue yonder. Now, everything went fine for the chicken. He ate all he wanted. He never worked. He grew fat and lazy. But then one day he heard the farmer say to his wife that the preacher was coming to visit the next day and they should have fried chicken for dinner. Hearing that, the chicken decided it was time to leave. But when he began to fly, he found that he had grown too fat and too lazy. Instead of being able to fly, he could only flutter. So the next day the farmer's family and the preacher sat down to a meal of fried chicken. When you give up the challenges life has in pursuit of security, your ability to fly turns into a flutter. And that's the reason eagles fly and chickens flutter.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. The president is up in this election among black men 4 points higher than he was in 2016, 4 points higher among black women than he was in 2016, 3 points higher among Latino men and women than he was in 2016, and 5 points higher among other minorities than he was in 2016. So it looks like all the racist demagoguery against this president has not been working, that people are realizing that this president cares about all Americans and he's doing things to help make all of our lives better, that he's not a fascist, that he's not a dictator, he has no aspirations for any of that silliness that they ascribe to him, that he is a businessman who wants to get things done for the American people. And it's just that plain and simple. So thank God that some people are getting it. And I think that's something that we've got to continue to build on for the future, for them, for those people who have been indoctrinated into believing somehow the conservative principle is racist, and that any conservative is a racist, A, and B, for the future of our country, in which we get the maximum out of every individual who understands what freedom offers. Don just gave us a tremendous little parable there to illustrate the point, so I won't retell it. Let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Barbara in Kentucky. Barbara, welcome.
Hi there, Bishop. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your program.
Thank you.
I know that you can't hear that enough, right? I have a question regarding Georgia. You know, as of right now, our president has got the lead by about 100,000 votes. Mm-hmm. And the Secretary of State announced that he's got 190,000 ballots yet to count.
So the Secretary of State said he's got 190,000.
190,000 ballots yet to count.
Yeah. Well, see, yeah. This is the problem. This is the problem. And where did those ballots come from? Look, I think there needs to be an investigation, Barbara, into what they call the provenance of these ballots. In other words, from the time they leave the printer to the time they arrive at the place of counting, we got to document where these ballots were for people who didn't just show up at the polls and vote in person. We got to document where these ballots were, because otherwise they could make this stuff out of whole cloth. And that's what concerns me. It's like I said, Bill Daley said, how many votes do we need? 100,000. Okay, you'll win. Because we'll go out and manufacture 100,000 votes, no problem. So, yeah, look, the president, I believe, is going to win Georgia. But in keeping with the comment I just made, you've got a lot. Georgia is one of the largest black populations in the country, and you've got a lot of people there who share our conservative values. And we've got to go after those people and explain to those people how the Democrat Party is working against their interests and against the interests of their children. And for too long, the Republican Party has refused to do anything like that. This president is the first leader I've seen say, we're going after them. Because most Republicans, and don't get me wrong, it's not because of racism. It's just because of the practicalities of politics. Well, we've only got so much money. We've only got so much time. Those people are not likely to vote for us. Well, let's go over here to these people who probably will vote for us. But and that's great for that election that is facing you. But it is frankly stupid for the long term when you see the direction of the demographic shift. So, Barbara, I predict the president's going to win in Georgia in spite of the shenanigans that might be played there. So let's just keep praying, okay? Thank you so much for the call, Barbara. We appreciate that. Let's go to Kay in Kansas. Kay, welcome.
Hello, and thank you, Bishop. I really enjoy everything you say. What I want to say, sir. The evil devil wants President Trump to fail. But I'm believing that God, who knows everything, that maybe Jesus will come for all Christians, and then who are left can pick who they want. And that's all I have to say, and thank you for letting me call in. I appreciate that.
Well,
thank you,
okay,
sir.
Thank you so much. Listen, if Jesus tarries, I've got another suggestion. I was thinking about this morning. Why don't all these people who hate this country so much just leave? They hate our history. They hate our founding fathers. They hate our symbols, our American flag. They hate our slogan, "In God We Trust." They hate our Pledge of Allegiance. We're a racist country. We're a sexist country. We're an imperialist country. We're an exploitive country. Why don't they just go? I mean, if you put all of these celebrities together and all of these big tech people together, they could easily find some island or something where they could live in harmony. Well, yeah, we'll see. whether that would be the case, but they could live under the socialist utopia that they have in mind for the rest of us. Why don't they just leave the rest of us alone? You know, those of us, imagine living in a home and you got two families sharing the space. And one family keeps saying, "We hate this house. We hate this house. We hate this house. This house is horrible. This house is broken down. This house is old. This house doesn't look good. This house is not beautiful. Look at the woodwork. Look at the ceiling tiles. Look at the, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. And then you got another family that just thinks, "Man, what a blessing to live here. What a blessing to be in this house. What are they talking about?" Wouldn't it make sense to say to them, "You know, we know you don't like it here. Why don't you just go? Because we really do." And rather than be at odds with each other all the time, you should just go and find some place that you can enjoy living. I mean, I know it's not going to happen because in their heart of hearts, even these idiots know that they're living in the finest place on earth to live, to work, to grow, to raise a family, to get educated, again, to fulfill your God-given gifts. They know that. But, you know, they're caught up in the cult-like mentality. It says, no, America, 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 God shed his hate on thee. You know, like Jeremiah, right? No, not God. Bless America. God, and you fill in the blank, America. So that's the mindset. I mean, I really would be elated if we just woke up one morning and said there's a movement of all the people who really believe that America's a bad place. They're leaving. I think a bunch of us would rejoice. In the meantime, Jesus is coming to get us all of us Christians anyway, and the rest of it won't matter at that point. But in the meantime, that would be one possibility. Unlikely, fantasy on my part, no doubt, but it sure would do my heart glad to see that happen. So thank you for the call, Kay. Oh, my goodness. You've been very patient. Leanne, welcome.
Hi. Hi. I just wanted to say I agree with what you just said. They should just leave, not try to change America. And God bless America, land of the free. And that's what I went to vote for yesterday, was freedom as a Christian. And I voted for Trump. And I'm in Virginia, and I'm sad and disappointed that I heard that the electoral colleges, of course, because of Northern Virginia, was blue.
Yeah.
So, but I'm still praying and that my vote counted. And anyway, the other thing is these mail order votes, like ballots, they should be illegal. There's no identification for someone. At least the absentee ballots, you have to prove who you are. Seems right to me that it's illegal and it should be stopped.
I agree with you, Leanne. Something has got to be done about it. And all of this stuff. And by the way, let me just share with you all. You know, every now and then I have a pet peeve. Here's one of my pet peeves. This is the pet peeve. You know, white people can get an ID. And who else knows? Anybody can pretty much get, but not black people. You can't. Black people can't get IDs. That's discriminatory. You're stopping them. You need an ID to rent a hotel room, to rent a car, to get on an airplane. I mean, give me a break. What is this condescension of treating black folks like they're some sort of handicapped nincompoops? And we're not. Back in a moment.
Airing the Addisons.
Let's go back to the series of tweets coming from our brother, the BDN of Bwile, which, by the way, I vehemently disagree with him. He says, first, show us that blackness matters, and then we'll turn around and tell you, okay, and so does Christ.
Weekday afternoons, 2 to 3 Central on American Family Radio.
With respect, okay? With respect. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. With respect.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Dan Celia, a financial issue.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Well, there's that cycle of what we call is a cycle of shame.
Dave Samuel on Focus on the Family Minute.
Where you're great, you know, everything's going well, and then something triggers and you fall into sin. And then you feel the shame and the guilt of that. And then you say, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then you start feeling better. And then you're at the top of the cycle where you're feeling great. And then something else triggers it.
But it just keeps working.
It keeps going around and around, mm-hmm. right? And you cannot do it by yourself because it's just, it's too difficult to do that. You need others. You know, there's a reason why James talks about confessing your sins to one another and praying for each other that you may be healed. There is healing and there is strength in numbers.
More from Dave at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Let's come right back to the phones and get as many of your calls in as we can. Let's go to Reuben in Mississippi. Reuben, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Bishop, for answering my call.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Yes, and so my two questions, really. As far as if Biden gets to be president of the United States, is that something that will correlate with the end times as far as the Antichrist system coming in? And then my next question is that what position or what attitude should the believer have if Donald Trump does not get reelected?
Wow, two very profound questions, Reuben. On the first one, to tell you the truth, and I don't mean this to sound partisan, but I know it's going to come across that way. I think that at this point, pretty much everything the Democrat Party does is laying the groundwork for the coming of the Antichrist, because they are an Antichrist party. They have decided to reject God, to reject truth. The Bible says that the lawless one who comes will develop this following, and God will send them strong delusion to follow him because they did not have the love of the truth. And so this is what we're seeing now. You've got this really lying propaganda demagoguery that is spewing out of the left, and you got people just buying into it left and right. And it's the perfect setup for someone to arise to say, you know what? I've got the solution to all your problems. Just follow me. Just give me all the authority and all the power, and I'll take care of everything. So in that sense, and I said that, I got into trouble for saying this, but people asked me, did I think that Barack Obama was the Antichrist? I said, no. I said, that would be theological malpractice to call him the Antichrist. I said, but I think he might be a dress rehearsal. And needless to say, that did not go over very well in some quarters, but I thought it was true. So I think in terms of what Christians should do, I think Christians have to continue to pray and continue to engage. Look, I served in the Marine Corps. I thank God I didn't see any combat. I thought I was going to, but I didn't. But we were trained for combat. And the way we were trained was we don't back up. We don't quit. We don't give in. we don't give up. And so, I think we just shake ourselves off. We reassessed and we say, okay, all right, what's the next step? What's the next move? So that's the approach that I, as a Christian, will take. And I hope that every Christian will. Don't ever allow yourself to become discouraged, because, you know, the devil moves in the realm of discouragement. By the way, somebody mentioned this earlier, and let me come back and underscore it. One of the strategies of the left is to demoralize the American people. Let me repeat that. One of the strategies of the left is to demoralize the American people. In other words, to rob you of hope, to rob you of any sense of vision for the future, to rob you of any sense of victory for the values that you hold dear in your country, just basically demoralize you so you just want to give up and go home. And just say, you know what, I'm just going to go live my life because these people have lost their minds and they're going to destroy America and then there's nothing I can do about it. That's exactly what the enemy wants. So thank you very much, Ruben. We appreciate the call. Let's go to PJ in Texas. PJ, welcome.
Good. Yes. Thank you. So, you know, that step was ordered to follow you right after that comment. I totally agree with that. That, you know, I said I was going to jump on here just to encourage people, because I heard several people saying, well, what will we do if he loses, or what should our posture be? What should we be thinking? I mean, God's word is clear. I mean, he still says, you know, it's like, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek Amen. My face, turn from their wicked ways. When I look at that wicked ways part, it's like, there's been a lot of silence, a lot of, you know, a lot of bad men doing evil and a lot of evil going on. And a lot of good men being silent. I mean, a lot of silence going on. So this should be an encouragement and a charge, you know, to obey God and do what his word says so that he can hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal Amen. Our land. God has blessed America and will continue to bless America. So
Amen. PJ, thank you so much. You are absolutely right. You are on target. God is not through with America yet. And he said, well, how can you be sure about that? Because you're here and I'm here and we're crying out to him in behalf of our beloved country. He can't possibly be through with America because we are interceding in behalf of America and he's not through with us. Okay? It's just that plain and simple. Let's go to Karen in Louisiana. Karen, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking this call. I'd like to read something Woodrow Wilson said in 1911 from William J. Federer's book, The Ten Commandments and Their Influence on American Law. The man whose faith is rooted in the Bible knows that reform cannot be stayed, that the finger of God that moves upon the face of the nations is against every man that plots the nation's downfall or the people's deceit, that these men are simply groping and staggering in their ignorance to a fearful day of judgment, and that whether one generation witnesses it or not, the glad day of revelation and of freedom will come, in which men will sing by the host of the coming of the Lord in his glory, and all those will be forgotten. Amen. Those little scheming, contemptible creatures that forgot the image of God and tried to frame men according to the image of the evil one. The Bible.
Wow, those are some powerful words by Woodrow Wilson. There's no question about that. Of course, Woodrow Wilson is not one of my favorite historical figures, but those are some very powerful words. But see, here again, it's proof positive, isn't it? God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. Just because somebody has got flaws, it doesn't mean that God can't use them to encourage and uplift, because that's one of the accusations thrown against our president, which is, well, you know, he's been married more than once, and didn't he say 11 years ago something that was very prurient? And, well, look, you know, the man's president of the United States now, and I'm more interested in what his policies are for this country, not what the practices were in his past. And that's the way it is. Thank you so much for the call, Karen. Let's see. Let's keep going here. Let's go to Kim in North Carolina. Wow, Kim, we're waiting on North Carolina, Kim.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks.
Good. Just want to let you know that I have, by the way, I listen to your show often, and you are a blessing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But quickly, just wanted to let you know that I worked early voting in North Carolina, and I want to preface that by saying the group that I worked with was by the letter of the law, but there were some policies in place that opened my eyes to how easy it was to commit voter fraud. One of the issues, the bigger issues that I had was that you have to, within 30 days before an election, you have to, if you want to change your party, you cannot do it after that 30 days. There's a 30-day window, then they cut you off, and then you have to wait until after the election. But we had people coming out of the woodwork that had not voted in years. You did not have to have a photo ID.
Wow.
But you could have a tax bill, or as long as it had what you said was your name and your physical address, you could register right then and vote right then.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It really opened my eyes to how easy it is to commit voter fraud. And I think that we as Christians, I know the photo ID and the registering, same-day registering and voting has been an issue in North Carolina for a while. And I think we as Christians need to stand up and make sure that a different kind of policy is
Amen. Put into place. Amen. That's one of the things, Kim, thank you for the call. That's one of the things on the agenda in the upcoming 4 years, President Trump as president or not. That's one of the things on the agenda. Thank you so much for the call, Kim. Let's go to Scott in Tennessee. Scott, welcome.
Scott in Tennessee?
Yes, you're on.
How you doing, Brother Jackson?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. My question is, if, and a big if, Biden gets in, I'd like to know how the swearing-in process is going to be if you're sworn in to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's going to be kind of interesting how they're going to play that out if he wins. And I'll get off and let you comment on that. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for calling, Scott. Scott, I think if he wins, he will take that oath and ignore it. That's what I think. He will take it and ignore it like he never took it, like a whole lot of politicians often do. They just take it and, you know, they just ignore it. Like the governor of New Jersey. Oh, that's above my pay grade. No, I didn't consider the Bill of Rights. I mean, so, and he definitely took the oath to the Constitution. I think this is going to be our last one really quick. Kelly in Arkansas. Kelly, welcome.
Hi, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and love your program. I'm a conservative Democrat. And I really need some peace about this. And, you know, really, I'm a little bit more scared of Trump than I am Biden. But I understand I'm afraid Biden has gone too far to the left. Would you just kind of clarify and maybe give us some peace? Because we really, I mean, we're going to be in trouble whichever one of them goes in. Let's be honest to God right now. We're going to be.
Well, Kelly, I wish you weren't calling at the end of the program, because I'd really love to get into why you think the election of President Trump. I mean, he's had 4 years, and I'd love to see somebody point to something he's done in the last 4 years that's cataclysmic. I mean, people can argue that he mismanaged COVID, but I'd like to know what anybody criticizing him would have done differently. I mean, it's a worldwide pandemic. So look, the problem with Biden is I think that he is the wholly owned subsidiary of communist China, and I think he'll be beholden to the left, and he'll do their bidding as well. And that's very dangerous for our country, because these are people that don't respect our Constitution, in my view, don't respect our Judeo-Christian values or our way of life. You're a conservative Democrat, faith in God, that you're probably one of the few. That's going to do it, folks. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.